This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We continue right here. It's the Zach Yelp Show on CBS Sports Radio. Let's spend a few minutes talking Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines, and we'll do so with a New York Times best-selling author. He is John Bacon. His new book that is out is Overtime, Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines at the Crossroads of College Football. John U. Bacon, thank you for the time. Appreciate it. Congratulations, and how are you?
Zach, thank you very much. We're doing fine here in Chicago, working for the Big Ten Network today, and happy to talk to you.
Well, we appreciate you jumping on board with us. So I know that you had unprecedented access with this book, and you have connections to Michigan, being a student there in the past, and then also teaching there. You and your wife and your son live in Ann Arbor, and you've authored a book before with Bo Schembechler. But how did you not only come up with this idea and also get the okay from Michigan and Coach Harbaugh on this unprecedented access?
Well, part of that was, I got to admit, Zach, just flat-out luck. Dumb luck, in fact. But, and also keep in mind, too, yes, I got serious ties to Ann Arbor, of course, and I love the pledge and I love U of M. But I've been critical in the past, my three previous books, to the point where I got my press pass pulled by the previous AD. So we've not been afraid to speak to the power when necessary. So it was not at all given that I'd be given access to the season. I talked to Jim Harbaugh about this, of course. I also talked to his father, Jack, about this. And one of the keys is that all the other guys who talked to me for the books, no one's gotten burned by being misquoted. That's one of the keys. For that, what I do is I send people back their quotes before they go out to make sure I got their quotes right. Not the whole section, not the whole book, certainly. It's not an invitation to edit. But it does mean it will not be misquoted in the book. And that, for most of these guys, is all they need to hear. So that's how I got in. And the reason I wanted to get in, I felt that the previous book, End Zone, I thought was going to be my last book, but on football. But then I realized there are more questions to answer. One is Harbaugh himself, mainly an enigma, I think, nationally. I wanted to get to know him better and give a better profile of him. But also, mainly, I wanted to ask the players as we went through the season what it's like to be a football player during the season in real time. What's it like to be their parents? I interviewed the parents of these eight players I followed throughout the season. And I also want to know, basically, is it worth it? And I asked all those guys that question for the epilogue of the book. So it was really an interesting dive for me.
Why'd you get your press pass taken away years ago?
Because the previous AD, Dave Brannon, did not like what I had to write about him.
Gotcha.
That'll do it.
Well, when you talk to...
I can say this and I stress this. It's not about ethics or breaking any rules or anything else. He just did not like what I had to say.
Gotcha. When you talk to some of these players in the past and, you know, reading a little bit of the book, it operates under the premise that Michigan is running a clean program, and that's something that Coach Harbaugh really prides himself on. I know that in one of the releases they sent over, you were talking to Rashawn Gary about being offered $300,000, if not more, by another institution. When these players do have that ability in the recruiting process to go somewhere else where they could get paid and you know, go to college for 3-4 years and then get into the NFL, and there's really no harm if they get caught after college, do you think these players believe that it's worth it to be a part of not only a big program, but a program that prides themselves on operating things the right way?
I do, actually. And these guys came by it honestly, it seemed to me. I do have the caveat paragraph in there that, look, I mean, I can't prove a negative. Somebody could be taking money and I didn't see it. That's always possible. Of course, it did happen even under Bo Schembechler 30-plus years ago when two of his players took money from an agent, and once Bo found out about it, they're off the team. But, man, if these guys are taking money, they're hiding it extremely well. I've been to their homes. I've seen their cars and they've got cars, and I did not see money sloshing around here. So, and, yeah, Rashawn Gary's famous quote to me about this was that I asked him, I said, look, the worst secret here in Schembechler Hall is that another school, I'll keep them nameless, offered you $300,000 to attend their school instead of Michigan. And he leaned back and kind of grinned and said, man, it was more than that. It was more than money, and it's more than one school. So there you have it. But if you're academically motivated, as Rashawn Gary was, he's dyslexic, then it might make sense to go to Michigan versus another school, because right now they rank about third or fourth nationwide in the APR scores for academics. So that's a selling point for somebody like Rashawn's mom, who's a big influencer in his life. So but you can't get all those guys, obviously. These guys do take great pride in that. And one of my great quotes from Ben Bredesen, the current senior captain, he said, man, the thing I'm proudest of this team and something you never hear about, and that is we got 140 guys on the team, and none of these guys got in trouble all year.
Wow.
He said, and if we did, exactly, and if we did, man, everyone's got a cell phone. If you get in a fight in a bar, if you, you know, do something stupid with a young lady, a woman, then guess what? You're going to get found out by midnight these days, and you'd hear about it. And he said, this is a bunch of good dudes, and you don't hear about that. So they do take pride in it. It's not the only school out there, of course, doing it this way, that's for sure. But it seems to be more the exception than the rule.
Were you a believer last year? Did you think it was their year? Because throughout the season, I was a believer, and then they got smacked by Ohio State. And clearly then everyone said, here we go again with Michigan and Harbaugh and what we were tending to believe the last few years.
Sure. I had no idea going into the season, except for these guys seemed very determined, and they felt like they had fixed a lot of problems in 2017. One of them was team unity. They said that the 2017 team was not unified. They also said they were not as close to their coaches as they should be to have a real run. And Harbaugh changed that in the offseason by sitting down with Caron Higdon, senior tailback, and Chase Winovich, senior defensive end, both of whom were debating jumping to the NFL. And he asked them, what went wrong? And they both said the same thing. We don't like our food program. We don't like our strength program. And Harbaugh said, you're right, and changed both the leaders of those programs. And that turned things around. Caron Higdon said, we used to have a dictatorship, and now we have a democracy. So right there, they changed the attitude. So I was willing to buy it. And I wasn't sure, of course, with the close calls against Northwestern early in the season. But then they went that big run through the gauntlet of Wisconsin, Michigan State, and Penn State. And now, of course, everybody was believing they had a real shot. So Ohio State came as a huge shock to these guys. And I talked to them about that game as well. And Chase Winovich said, it is a myth that we played man-to-man the entire game and got burned. We switched to zone one, zone two, and zone three, and they were ready for all three of them. That guy, Ryan Day, current head coach, knows what he's doing. And he said the bigger problem was they ran up-tempo the entire game. He said, I did not feel comfortable the entire game, even when it's close. So that's Ohio State beat him. Caron Higdon told me afterwards, we didn't yell, we didn't scream, we didn't throw helmets, we didn't cry. We sat down in our stalls and stared off into space for 15 or 20 minutes without moving a muscle. We were just bewildered by how we had lost. So that one stuck there for a while. And one last little nugget, Zach, you might enjoy. They've got four big screen TVs at Schembecker Hall where they eat their meals, three meals a day. As almost always on Fox or ESPN or Big Ten Network. And for those 2 weeks after that game, is on Tom and Jerry cartoons. Nobody wanted to see any highlights about those games. So that is a devastating loss.
John U. Bacon here with us on CBS Sports Radio, New York Times bestselling author, the name of the book, Overtime, Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines at the Crossroads of College Football. When you got the access to Coach Harbaugh, what were his thoughts on Urban Meyer? And then also when he found out that Urban Meyer was retiring again, I know Coach has been very public about this in the past at Media Day where he said controversy always does follow Urban. What were your conversations like to him about Urban Meyer?
The same as you get in public. And this is, one of Jim's either saving graces or things that gets him in trouble sometimes is what he thinks he'll tell you if you ask him a question. So in the case of Urban Meyer, he said that Michigan media at the Big Ten Media Days that he was a great coach with a great record. People always cut that part out, of course. But controversy always follows him wherever it goes, which we've already written anyway. But it's rare for a coach to say that. I did not ask him this question that I should have. But I certainly heard from others who agree that, no, he wants another chance to beat Urban Meyer. So he was undeniably disappointed that Urban Meyer stepped down because Jim is 0-4 against Urban Meyer. And people were asking me how Michigan might do against Ryan Day, the new head coach, of course. And I said, you know, I don't know, but it can't be any worse than 0-7.
There's only one way to go. It's up.
Exactly. Well, my dad said, Zach, when you're on the floor, you can't fall out of bed. Michigan's won two times this century against Ohio State. You can't spin that.
When you look at the tenure of Jim Harbaugh at Michigan, and every year besides one, he's had 10 wins at Michigan. So there's been some success, and some fans may look at it and say, 10 wins at Michigan, no big deal. because that used to be normal. But for a while under Rich Rod, they got away from that, being 7-6 was his best year. Under Brady Hoke, they had that 1-11-2 season, but there was regression ever since. So there's been some success for Harbaugh, but there's also that feeling of disappointment and emptiness because, like we were talking about, they never defeated Ohio State under his watch yet, and also they've never been to the college football playoffs. So how do you evaluate the tenure so far of Jim Harbaugh at Michigan?
Well, exactly right. And in some ways, his first year was his blessing and his curse at Michigan because under Brady Hoke, they'd gone from 11 wins to 8 to 7 to 5, 5-7 his last year. So things were quite miserable in Ann Arbor, as you might imagine. Harbaugh shows up. They win 10 games that first year. And the next year, of course, they lose to Ohio State in double overtime. So they're that close to cracking it before they take a step back in 2017. 10 wins again last year is not a bad record, but unless you beat Ohio State, of course, you'll always be judged on that. I would judge his coaching on that front as B+, A-, not too far off the mark. But when you throw in other things like conduct and academics, where they're finishing the top five, as I said, the last 4 years, it looks a bit different. So I want to get to not just the on-game performance for the players and coaches, but also what their lives are like in the building year-round. As one of the guys said, there are 8,760 hours in a year, and you guys only see 60. So I want to dive into the other 8,700. And on that score, all these guys score pretty highly. So, but look, it's Michigan and it's Big Ten football. Dale Harbaugh beats Ohio State. You cannot say he's in the upper echelon of this field. So that's got to happen.
Is the confidence with the administration, and not what the fans think, but the confidence with administration, is it all wavering on Jim Harbaugh? How much pressure is he actually on?
Zero is the answer. Zero wavering, zero pressure. It goes like this in three rings, Zach. National media is all over him, calling him a failure, you know, overpaid, overhyped, et cetera, et cetera. The Michigan fans, 10 or 15%, are grumbling about it, but the vast majority realize, if not Harbaugh, who? And the AD, Ward Manuel, he's got the only vote that matters. And the vote right now, Zach, is 1-0 in Harbaugh's favor. So, and he is not wiggling even a little bit. So they're making money. The place is full. The guys are graduating, staying out of trouble. They're winning 10 games. From the AD's point of view, no problem. So he's not on the hot seat. I would say this, however, that if you keep on losing to Ohio State, the job might become unpleasant. And at that point, perhaps the NFL would look better. But I've seen no indication whatsoever that Jim is fixing to leave for the NFL. All four of his kids go to his old Catholic elementary school. That is not an accident. He lives three doors down from Bo Schmidt's old house, and his parents moved in the house in his backyard. These are all signs that he's going to be there for a while, I would say.
What else surprised you when you were doing your research, if it was about the players or him, as we wrap up with John U. Bacon?
I would say how close the guys are, which they weren't in 2017. Noah Furbush, outside linebacker, who's now training to be an astronaut, actually. How about that? His master's in space engineering. He said, military might be closer than us, but that'd be about it. So these guys get along quite well. I'm also surprised, too, that the game is not as dangerous as I thought. So I went away from this whole thing feeling a lot better about college football than I did a year ago, which, frankly, I was not expecting. So that was kind of the biggest surprise.
What stood out to you that made you think that it's less dangerous than what you thought?
Talking to the doctors, not the team doctors, but the neurologists who studied stuff. It turns out that women's soccer is a close second to men's football as far as head injuries go.
Wow.
Everyone talks about women's soccer, yeah. Number three is cheerleading. How about that? So I didn't see that coming. Last year on Michigan's team in 2018, the three biggest injuries all occurred off the field. A moped accident, a guy wrestling with his college roommate on the couch and tearing his pectoral muscle, and a kid helping his parents move, tripping and breaking his ankle. Which is not to say the game is without risk and so on, obviously. There's risk, there's sacrifice always. I've got a chapter on Grant Newsom, who blew out his knee and almost lost his leg in 2016. That's a very serious situation. But as his dad told me, he's also got his master's degree from the Ford School of Public Policy with a 3.8 grad point average. And Grant Newsom is prepared for whatever the world can throw at him. I talked to the parents about this, and they've got real fears about this. I walked away feeling a lot better about college football.
He's John U. Bacon. Once again, the name of the book is Overtime, Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines at the Crossroads of College Football. John, appreciate the conversation. It was fun.
Zach, anytime, buddy. Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.